We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Boy, I think we need to all bow down here.
The new head.
To the king. The head of Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, my goodness, man.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, buddy.
Well, first of all, you guys know this is sort of in place for 3 months now. I just announced it, and I promise I'm the same jackass I ever was.
Well, that's good. We need you to be that same jackass.
Still the same Ohio State homer, right?
Yes.
That's right. That's right. Big game this week, too.
Yeah, huge game. Huge. Are you nervous at all, by the way, about that game or no?
You know what? Okay, I'm trying to like battle over confidence, but I don't know how you can't look at what they've done the first 2 weeks. And I mean, they look like a playoff team. You know, they absolutely look like a playoff team. And the defensive line was like the biggest strength last year. It looks like it's even better now. The quarterback is looks like a top 10 pick. They run the ball as well as they have. It's just, it doesn't look like there's a lot of weakness in that team anywhere.
Well, but to be fair, Albert, they played two horrible teams.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Bull? Like, it's one of those things, you know, when you see it, it looks different now. I don't know if Dustin would agree with this, but it's just like with Haskins at quarterback.
Yeah,
just
totally agree.
Different. And I think you're seeing, you know, I think Hartline's doing a good job coaching the receivers. You know, it's just the passing game looks like it looks like a different team than last year. And the things that stopped them from getting where they wanted to go last year, I don't think they're going to stop them this time around.
Well, it's good Hartline's focused on the wide receivers instead of sex toys. That's why the Ohio State's in better shape.
Get your shots in, buddy.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure he's ordering things through Amazon.
No, definitely not.
No.
All right, Albert. Let's move on.
You're right over there, Bull.
I think we got to stop that conversation.
Yeah, you're right. This is the last remnants of my cough. So anytime I laugh, it sounds like I got a smoker's cough. Here. Anyway, Albert, it's been an interesting week for the Browns. It's just such a weird way to start the season with a tie. First of all, I hate that this tie's in the NFL. To me, there's no excuse for it. This idea that, first of all, I don't know why they cut it down to 10. We're protecting the players. As Sean Salisbury pointed out earlier today, they played a 7-hour game between Miami and Tennessee, essentially. You know, they play Thursday night games after Sunday. We got to have winners and losers. We can't have ties. It sucks.
Well, I think the answer for you there is probably the answer to most everything in the NFL, which is that it does correlate to Miami to some degree. And I think the TV networks want to limit on how long games are going to take, so that's part of it. I think there is a player safety element as well. I personally think, and I know you guys are right now in the city where it happened in the first football game you guys have gotten in 9 months, right? Like, so it hits home a little different for you guys right now, but they are really rare. You know, there are plenty of seasons that go by without one. So I understand, you know, you want to win as a loser. I just don't know that it's like any sort of huge problem for the league because we just don't see it happen very often.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to be prisoners of the moment and complain about it and bitch and moan about it. And it was rare. And the fact that it's just rare for the Browns. The team hasn't won a game in a season and they end their losing streak without winning. And so it just becomes like this joke for everybody else.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
like only the Browns could snap a losing streak by not winning.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I want to ask you about Albert. I want to ask you about Tyrod Taylor, who in this game was 15 for 40, and obviously he can play better. He has played better. This is not the Tyrod Taylor we expected, even though you know he had a rookie left tackle. He had not ideal conditions to play in during the game. What did you make of his performance, and if that performance sort of continues, how soon until we see Baker? I had to ask. Sorry.
He needs to perform better. I don't think that there's any. And look, this is sort of what they got in Buffalo. You know, there were games where he was good, and then there were games where he laid eggs, and he didn't look great in the playoffs. And so there was a little bit of a roller coaster to the way he played in Buffalo. The one thing he was able to avoid, and I think you guys probably saw this, is he doesn't turn the ball over. You know, he did have one pick right against the Steelers, but like he's pretty conservative. He can be conservative with the ball in those spots, and sometimes it hurts him. And I think if this is really about the Browns and it's not about just Baker Mayfield specifically, maybe there does come a point where it's easier to sell Baker Mayfield as giving the team the best chance to win if you're selling that to the locker room. If it's about Baker Mayfield, which is what we've been led to believe, and what I've been told, that this is really about what's best for Baker, and what's best for Baker is not to saddle him with all the history of first-round rookies, going south in Cleveland and all the history of the last 2 years. If this is about not saddling him with that, well, then he's not going to play anytime soon. So I think that's sort of the way you want to look at this, is that does there come a point where, Tyrod doesn't play well a few weeks in a row and it becomes clear to the other players in the team that Baker may give him a better chance? Is there a point where you say, well, what's best for the Browns has to outweigh what might be best for Baker individually?
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, let's talk about first play gate at Cleveland Browns facility here. Hugh Jackson made a huge point of emphasis last week in the media saying Josh Gordon would not start the game, which seems silly. Then, of course, he did start the game. And then after the game, Hugh Jackson said, well, it was just miscommunication. I've been told that Todd Haley, apparently the offensive staff had no idea that Josh Gordon was supposed to start, which some people find hard to believe because Hugh Jackson was talking about it in the media. But I don't know if Todd Haley's paying attention to that stuff. And Tyrod Taylor apparently said today, yeah, of course I knew Josh Gordon was going to start because we had the game plan. So what do you make of the whole – and whether Josh starts or not doesn't matter. It's just a sign of – a lack of communication is more the issue.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there are – you come out in a different personnel grouping, and that means – I don't think actually starting in the NFL, unless you're an offensive lineman – or a corner, you play one of those positions where there's always going to be one of them on the field.
Right.
If you play a position like receiver where there could be two, there could be three, there could be four on the field, starting means a lot less because, whether you start or not is going to sort of depend on the personnel grouping your team puts out there. Or if you're a defensive player, it can depend on what the offense is throwing at you. If you're the third corner, maybe you start some games, you don't start others. And so I think the point that he was trying to make is a valid one, which is, we want Josh Gordon to earn his way into whatever role we wind up giving him. And, I think that part of that is okay. You're not a starter yet, but, in this particular spot, we want to put this personnel grouping on the field. So we're only bringing so many people to the game, and because of circumstance, we're going to have to start you. Doesn't mean you're a full-time player yet. We still want you to earn that, but we're going to make you earn that. We're going to make you earn your way onto the field. So like that part of it, I think it can be explained away pretty easily, but I understand the symbolism of starting the first game and why he wanted to avoid that. And, it's not the greatest sign in the world that even though he wanted to avoid it, it happened.
Albert, let's talk about the two other rookie quarterbacks. Baker is not playing yet, but Sam Darnold played well, really well for the Jets. He throws the pick six to start the game and then was, I think, completed 80% of his passes after that and looked really good. On the other hand, the Bills decided, we're starting Nathan Peterman, and now this week we think Josh Allen's the best player. It's kind of the same thing that Bill O'Brien did with the Texans last year. How does that make any sense? Josh Allen's not ready week one.
Yeah.
We put him in the middle of the game, and he's – Why did they get rid of A.J. McCarron? I don't understand that. At least he could have been serviceable for a few weeks.
I mean, it's the exact same. To me, it's the exact thing we were just talking about. When it comes to, how you set your priorities here. And I don't think that there's anything that should be a higher priority than the development of a quarterback that you draft high. And if the player's development is important and you're sitting him for a reason, you shouldn't, be pulling the plug on that plan after 1 week, right? No matter what happens. And so, I think that's the thing that's difficult to kind of have your head around when it comes to this decision-making here is, I really felt like part of the decision-making was, Nate Peterman played well in the preseason. and we feel like it's best for Josh Allen because, you know, the team's sort of stripped down around him for him to fit and learn and have Nate Peterman take those hits. And so kind of pulling the plug on that plan after 1 week, and after a week in which, you know, you got beat by 44 points doesn't seem to make a ton of sense.
Albert, looking at the Saints this weekend, the Browns have to go to New Orleans, of course, and try to avoid going to 0-1-1. Sounds so weird to say that. But the, you know, the Saints get sort of, I don't say they got their doors blown off, because they didn't, but they gave up 48 points. They scored 40.
Yep.
How big of a challenge is it for the Browns this week going up against this team? You know, they know they can't go to 0-2, even though they've done it before. But they're going to be angry, I think, the Saints. I'm a little worried about that.
Oh, well, when it comes to the NFL, I totally subscribe to the idea that teams can be cornered animals in these situations. And I think the Saints are a cornered animal. You know, it's they've been dealing with expectations the whole off season. They've embraced those expectations. They've embraced the idea that they were going to be really good. The defense is a prideful group now. That and I was told this for the first time. Since Sean Payton's been there, the defense basically played the offense to a virtual standstill in training camp, whereas normally the offense is just pulling the defense's pants down with Drew Brees there. Like in training camp, the defense was standing up to the offense, and they were really encouraged by that, you know? And it felt like now we've got Cam Jordan, you know, we drafted Marcus Davenport, we got Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams in the secondary. But they really felt like, all right, we got this thing rolling now. And so to kind of take it on the chin the way that they took it on the chin, especially from a defensive standpoint, I think you're going to see the Saints team that's going to come out looking to make a point. The offense didn't play bad last week. The offense was fine. And, you know, I think really where you're going to look for sort of that edge with New Orleans is on the defensive side. And I would expect their defense to come out and play really well against Cleveland.
Yeah, Albert, you look at Drew Brees. He probably, when he retires, assuming he plays another 2-3 years, and assuming Brady doesn't play 8 more years, he could finish all-time in passing yards, all-time in yards per game, all-time in touchdowns, all-time in completion percentage, number one in all these categories. And yet, even though everybody says he's great, he's never, I think, put up there with Brady and Rodgers and Manning. Why do you think that is?
I think part of it's probably... I mean, part of it might be just that he's not physically overwhelming, you know, and I think this goes back to where he was drafted and all of that. I think the other piece of it is, you know, maybe there's a little bit of like a Montana Bill Walsh thing going on there where, you know, I think Montana before this era at least was the greatest of all time.
Agreed.
But there was always that question, like, he's got Bill Walsh, so where does Joe Montana end and Bill Walsh start as far as the credit goes? And so I think that Brees deals with a little bit of that too. You know, whereas Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl with a defensive coach, Tony Dungy, and Tom Brady won a Super Bowl with a defensive coach, Bill Belichick, he's had this offensive guru. And so I think that that's probably a part of it. I just tell you this. I mean, I can remember watching him in the Big Ten. And I think, you know, just as far as getting the most out of his ability and being clutch and being kind of a field general, I think he's been as consistent as they come.
No doubt.
And there's a reason why you can build an offense like that around him, because he can command it. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, the same way Joe Montana and Bill Walsh were a perfect marriage, I think Sean Payton and Drew Brees were a perfect marriage, because Sean always wanted to do these things. That's why Bill Parcells used to call him Dennis the Menace, because he would always have all these weird different ideas. And I think in a lot of ways, getting Drew Brees to be his quarterback kind of unlocked who Sean Payton was as a coach. That's why they've been so great together. And that's why in a lot of ways they've redefined offensive football. If you look, I think – I go and look this up, but I think that there have been 6 5,000-yard seasons in NFL history, something like that, and Brees has like 4 of them. It's just – I mean, he's raised the bar in a lot of different ways. And so – I don't know why people don't look at him as being on that level.
What was the stat you gave, Albert? Give it to me.
I believe it's something like there's been 6 5,000-yard seasons in NFL history, something like that. Brees has like 4 of them.
You are close, not exactly, but you're close. You're right in the ballpark there. There's been 9, and he's had 5 of them.
Yeah,
that's absurd.
Right, he's had more than half of them.
And the other four are four different guys. Manning once, Brady once, Marino once, and Matthew Stafford once.
Right. So, I mean, it's just when you're that consistent, and, I mean, that tells you how much has been on Breeze to lead that team. I mean, here's another interesting one. He's never had a skill player making $10 million per year on his roster. He's never had it. Like, they've had guys who've come close, but, you know, it's always been sort of like the young guy comes through, and it's Mike Thomas now, it's Marcus Colston for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, they've never really had – Jimmy Graham was there. And, you know, I think with all of these guys, a lot of guys
Reggie
who
Bush.
Went through there, like he always – like all of those players were better when they were with Breeze and
yep.
they go somewhere else and they weren't quite as much, right?
Yeah, it's true.
It's just there's so much evidence when you look at Breeze that would tell you he belongs in the discussion when you're talking about the elite quarterbacks of all time. And in certain ways, he's a revolutionary player because he's been able to succeed at that height, you know, that physical stature, and he's done it in an offense that's very, very innovative and different and been prolific at a level that very few people historically have ever been.
Great stuff as always, Albert. We appreciate the time, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Albert Breer, MMQB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.